Rob Tittle, a Family Life staff member and kindred spirit warrior for the family. He died on Sunday night, April 27th, 2014. That is 1 week ago. In the tornado that crushed parts of central Arkansas. Did we hear about those? Two of his daughters, Tori, age 20, and Rebecca, 14, were among the 15 that were killed in the storm. Rob, he was 48, his wife was Carrie, had watched the sky grow dark and ominous. They were shepherding nearly all of their 9 children under a stairwell when the tornado disintegrated their home. Rob was doing what a man does, putting his family first and trying to get his 2 teenage daughters to safety when the twister hit. All that is left is a gray slab of concrete. The Tittles, 19-year-old daughter, posted on Facebook from a friend's house, quote, "My mom and my 6 brothers and sisters are all right. We've lost 3 of our family, Dad, Tori, and Rebecca. Prayers would be appreciated. The house is gone, stripped from the foundation. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Any idea where that last phrase comes from? And that's from a 19-year-old young lady. That's what our family looks at like today. I thought it'd be these things don't happen by accident. This was an email that I obviously got on Monday, an update that I got, and we're in the book of Job right now. And it struck me as I came to that portion of that letter and read the quotes of this young lady as she is dealing with a tragedy. And I wanted to put a face before us in case some of us aren't understanding the true tragedy that our man Job is enduring in this book. Job, if you recall, lost his family, his 10 children, in a storm. His 10 children were there in the home, and the storm blew the home away, and they were all killed. His family had a huge gaping hole to the point where it was just he and his wife, but in essence, he also basically lost his wife, because what did his wife say? Give up. Curse God. And die. In the time that we have together today, I thought it would be fitting for us to read a portion of Job to get an understanding of what it's like. We're going to be in Job 16. What it's like for those that are suffering. As you very well know, if you have been one who has suffered a tragedy, and it could be of any sort. It could be the loss of a family member. It could be an extreme illness. It could be great pain. Loss of a relationship. I'm not going to categorize tragedies, because if it is a pain and suffering to you, it's tragic, isn't it? And what might be tragic to you might not be tragic to somebody else. So we're not going to judge those kinds of things today. But nevertheless, it is important for us to understand what goes on inside of a person that is suffering. Now, our man Job, as we know, our man Job is one that is dealing with suffering both in an emotional and in a physical way. Remember that Job has not only lost his family, but he has also lost his health. Remember? He's got these nasty boils. He talks about worms and everything else. I mean, he has got a nasty disease that has been plaguing him for some time. As I read through Job's discourses this week again, I was just reminded that Job has been enduring this sickness for some time. I mean, it has weighed heavy on him to the point that he thinks this is something that's going to take him to the grave. This is an illness that's just not here one day and gone the next. It's just not your 24-hour flu. This is a grave disease. Now, as we understand the suffering heart, we need to understand that suffering brings out emotion in an individual. And we see that as we read through the book of Job. And the book of Job, just so you know, is a very difficult book to preach because if I were to go through it verse by verse, it would be very, very depressing messages for quite some time in that because there are huge sections where Job is an emotional wreck. And, you know, I want us to take a small portion today and just discover a little bit of what a suffering heart might look like. So we're going to look at Job chapter 16. I want you to follow along as I read. I'm going to read a lengthy portion of Scripture. But as I do, I want you to be a detective. I want you to try and see and identify the different emotions that our man Job is feeling. Remembering that he has these three friends that are sitting around him, and they are condemning him. They are saying that, Job, you must have sinned. There is no other explanation for your suffering. There is no other explanation for this illness. You must have sinned. Repent. Their understanding, and indeed it was very limited, they didn't have the scriptures. Their understanding of God was that if you are right with God, then your life will be right. Good. If you are not right with God, then there's something wrong with you and your relationship with God. That was their understanding, and so now they are pushing that button on Job time and time again. And Job is enduring this. Job chapter 16. And Job answers, and he said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are you all. Shall vain words have an end? But what emboldens thee that thou answerest, I also could speak as you. If your soul were in my soul's stead, I could heap up words against you and shake my head at you. But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving my lips would assuage your grief. Though I speak, my grief is not assuaged, and though I forbear, what am I eased? But now he hath made me weary. Thou hast made me desolate, all my company. And thou hast filled me with wrinkles, which is a witness against me, and my leanness rising up in me bears witness to my face. He tears me in his wrath, who hates me. He gnashes upon me with his teeth. My enemy sharpens his eyes upon me. They have gaped upon me with their mouth. They have smitten me upon the cheek reproachfully. They have gathered themselves together against me. God hath delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over unto the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he has broken me asunder. He has also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for his mark. His archers compass me around about. He cleaves my reins asunder and does not spare. He pours out my gall upon the ground. He breaks me with breach upon breach. He runs me upon me like a giant. Oh, I have sewed sackcloth upon my skin and defiled my horn in the dust. My face is foul with weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death, not for any injustice in my hands. Also, my prayer is pure. O earth, cover not thou my blood, and let my cry have no place. Also now, behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. My friends scorn me, but mine eye pours out tears unto God. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God as a man pleads for his neighbor. When a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return. My breath is corrupt. My days are extinct. The graves are ready for me. Are there not mockers with me? And doth not mine eye continue in their provocation? Lay down now. Put me in surety with thee. Who is he that will strike hands with me? For thou hast hid their heart from understanding. Therefore shalt thou not exalt them. He that speaks flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children, shall fail. He hath made me also a byword of the people. And aforetime I was as a tabret. Mine eye also is dim by reason of sorrow, and all my members are as shadow. Upright men shall be astonished at this, and the innocent shall stir up himself against the hypocrite. The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. But as for you all, do you return and come now, for I cannot find one wise man among you. My days are past, my purposes are broken off, even the thoughts of my heart. They change the night into day. The light is short because of darkness. If I wait, the grave is my house. I have made my bed in the darkness. I have said to corruption, thou art my father. To the worm, you are my mother and my sister. Where now is my hope? As for my hope, who shall see it? They shall go down to the bars of the pit when our rest together is in the dust. I trust I was able to communicate as I read that the ups and the downs of this suffering man. I trust as you read along with me, you began to grasp the sheer gravity that suffering brings to the emotions of a man. I describe it as the waves of an ocean. Because if you read, as you read the book of Job, it's almost like you can't predict what he's going to say. You're just riding it up, and at one point you're on the high, and you're trusting in God, and you're looking to God to be your help, and he's your witness, as it says in chapter 16, verse 19. God is my witness in heaven, and your eyes is on Christ. And then you're riding back down, and your gaze is on those people that are around you, and they're just not saying the right things. They're not doing the right things. And then you reach the depths, and you look inside, and you see yourself as miserable. You have nothing left to offer. And so often, you get stuck there to the point where you cannot see beyond yourself, and you see yourself to the grave. Many times in this book, you will see Job wanting to die. Wanting to die. We, as healthy individuals, those that have not lost 7 or 10 children, we will sit back and piously we will say, Job, that is not good thinking. You should not want to die. You have a lot to offer even in your suffering. Have you done that? Have we done that? Or any different, you know, variations of such forms of attempted comfort? The purpose of our time together today is just to help us understand what a suffering heart looks like. The reason that we are looking at this is because someday you may be suffering. And I want you to understand, you need to understand that this picture of suffering is not the same for all people, but going through suffering, it is hard, it is difficult, and God can handle your deepest pains and questions. Now, We know very well that at the end of this book, God confronts Job with himself, with his greatness. And Job is brought to the point where he cannot answer God, he has nothing to say, and he has to repent. He has to say, I am wrong, I repent, and dust, sackcloth, and ashes. And so we understand that as Job is going through all of these things, he comes to the end as God confronts him, and he realizes that, yes, he did need to change his thinking. But I want you to know something. God took care of that. It wasn't man that did that. And so as we consider the suffering heart of a believer, we need to understand that the suffering, they will many times long to be dead. We saw that here in this passage in Job chapter 17 and verse 14. I have said to corruption, thou art my father, and to the worm, thou art my mother and my sister. These are terms for the grave. Where it now is my hope. Dear church, you and I will be called upon to be comforters. And we truly should be. We are to come alongside of those that are enduring great tragedy and suffering, and we are to be faithful to displaying God's love to the hurting. And so it is important that we understand that many times the suffering, they will have emotions that are all over the place. And that is one thing that the book of Job teaches me. You know, thankfully I have not dealt with an incredible tragedy. And I say incredible, listen to me, I'm labeling tragedies. But you know, as a pastor, I'm called upon at times to try to comfort people in tragic times, and it is one of the very most challenging things I have to do, I get to do. And I want you to think it's a burden. And the book of Job has done so much to help me and to realize the depths of despair that a suffering person is dealing with, even to the point of the grave. You know, this family, the Tittle family, this 19-year-old girl that writes on this Facebook post, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." What's she thinking today? What is she thinking? What did she think the 2 days after the event and just Dad wasn't there? Do you think that this young lady was just straight as an arrow, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord, and she had no emotion, any other emotion? I dare say not. I hate to speak for her, but I dare say there was times of incredible sobbing, incredible questioning, and whys. The suffering, they go like this. Up, they'll see God, blessed be the name of the Lord, and then they'll be down. What else will they do? They'll long to be dead. Why? I do want to ask that question. Why is it that the suffering long to be dead? I don't know all the answers, but one possible suggestion is because this life is so hard, it means death is attractive. Suicide is no stranger to us. And so often, so many people are doing that and going that route, taking their very own lives. They're in the depths of suffering. We need, as comforters, to realize that is a true emotion that people feel. And we need to realize and understand that we need to be there when they're dealing with these things. And we're not to be pointing fingers and condemning, but we are to make sure that they know love. We talked about this last time we were together, but that people need to know the love of Christ. And how did Jesus communicate love? He was with people. He cried with people. I mean, I just keep going back to that time with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Lazarus was in the grave. He comes with Mary and Martha. He goes with them to the gravesite. He cries with them. And he answered their questions. Listen, with the suffering, let them initiate the conversations. You answer the questions. But if it means you sit in silence for a while, then sit in silence for a while. Well, the suffering, many times they long to be dead. When life is so hard, death seems like relief. What else? The suffering many times will question God. Why is it that God is one of the first to blame? Why is it that Job, in this passage, he gets so upset with God? In verse 11, Job 16:11, he says, God has delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over into the hands of the wicked. Why would he say such a thing? As a believer, we trust in God, right? God is our refuge and our rock, the Psalms tell us. And I want to tell you something. The psalmist has many times of suffering. You read the psalm, you'll see it. But he finds that God is his rock and God is his refuge. And we hold on to God as the all-knowing one. And he's everywhere present. He's all-powerful. And surely you, God, could have prevented something. Surely you could have seen this happening and caused it to not happen. We blame God because of his very nature of being all-powerful, of all-knowing, of being everywhere present. He is so great that we look at him and say, God, you are to blame because you didn't control my circumstances. As I was reading through Job again this week, I was looking at Job's discourses, and something struck me that is probably not a surprise to us, but we need to be aware of it. When we go through suffering, our gaze turns inward. You read the book of Job and you read where he's speaking. How many times does he use I or my? Now, I'm not telling you as a comforter to go to someone that's in a tragedy and to point your finger at them and say, stop talking about yourself. I'm not saying that. But I am telling you to realize that the natural tendency for the suffering is for them to turn inward, for them to talk and talk about themselves and be focused on themselves, whether it's positive or negative. Now we understand as people that are, if we take a step back from suffering, we understand that that's not the way we are to be thinking. We're not to be self-centered, and we would all agree on that, right? We could say that's not how we are to be thinking, but I want you to know something. When you step into suffering, your emotions that God has given to you, many times they will be inward focused. Let me remind you, God dealt with Job on that one. And God will deal with you or with the suffering friend. It is not our place to point the finger and say, stop thinking about yourself, until God begins that work. You know, something that I'm learning, again, and I'll repeat it, allow the suffering to initiate the conversations. Allow them to begin to ask the questions. You can begin to walk through it as they are ready, as they are prepared to talk. The suffering will question God. And we also see that the suffering, they evaluate their own lives and they question their own actions. The Tittle family, the story is described as Dad, Rob, he is trying to get his 9 children under the stairwell. And it was him and one older daughter and one middle daughter that were swept away. This 19-year-old, perhaps she might be saying, why didn't I let my sister go first? Why didn't I hold on to her more tightly? You could take a different scenario. I have my wife has a uncle, an aunt, and or a cousin that lost her husband in a motorcycle accident. Julia's uncle was teaching him how to ride a motorcycle. They were out. He was on his permit. They were going down the road. And suddenly Dave swerved head-on into another vehicle and was killed. I want you to know, Julia's uncle to this very day is asking questions and internalizing and wondering, why couldn't I have done something? Why did that have to happen? And the suffering are evaluating and constantly going over scenarios in their mind because the tragedy has happened. They can't do anything about it, but they still wonder why. They still wonder why. The suffering, they experience many ups and downs like the waves of an ocean. Sometimes they want to be left alone, but yet so often we will find that they just simply long for some human affection. Church, the book of Job, it's little known. But as God is opening our hearts and our eyes to it, and in my heart and eyes to this, I am greatly blessed by the things that I am learning. I want to be a good comforter. I want to be one, when a tragedy happens, I am equipped and I know how I can best show Christ's love for the hurting. I want to know and understand what I shouldn't do and what I shouldn't say. And we see all of those things here in the book of Job. Believer, I want you to also consider the times that you may be going through suffering, and maybe it's now. And maybe some of these things that we've talked about, the isolation or the emotional ups, the emotional downs, just the longing to be dead. Maybe they're real emotions. Job had them. I want you to understand something. That you are not alone in these feelings. And the way that this is all resolved for Job is God comes and speaks to him. I want you and I, when we go through suffering, we need to seek God's word. We need to seek his voice. You know, there's great reason the Word of God is described as a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Why is that? Because the path is dark, but the Word is the light. So what do we do with application with our time together today? Well, the suffering saints, they need the Word of God. Suffering saints need the Word of God. And whether you're going through suffering, whether you're a comforter, keep the Word of God first and foremost in your heart and your life. Your emotions may scream, no, I'm too tired, I want to stay in bed. Read the Word of God. The Word of God is sharp and quick and powerful, and it will expose and it will teach. And that's God's Word. I also want to encourage you to allow trusted counselors into your life. Trusted counselors that will sit with you and that will listen to you. Counselors that know the Word of God, that can help you understand it. Comforters that truly are not miserable, but blessings. Allow them into your lives. And so, church, we need to be those kinds of people, because we have suffering people. There are people all around us that are dealing with tragedy, pain. And we need to be the ones that display Christ's love. Lord, I thank you for your precious word. And God, we just looked briefly into the book of Job today and just sought to understand a little bit of how you made us. You've made us with these emotions and this grief and pain that comes with being a human being in a sin-cursed world. But God, I want to pray and ask you that you would increase our understanding of the suffering heart, and that you would prepare us to be blessed comforters. And I want to pray, Lord, that even as times come when we suffer, that we would seek your word. And God, would you show us your might and show us your power and cause us, God, cause us to be speechless, to be still, to listen, to know you. Help us to be satisfied in you. God, I can't answer why people suffer. I can't answer people's tragic questions. But God, help us to keep our eyes on you. And help us to know how to lovingly guide others into yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.